desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. It's saying here, my heart's desire and prayer to God. Now, you have been in services. I have been. I'm not just picking on you. Where the pastor says, you know, please pray for this, please pray for that. And you're like, yeah, okay. And people say, any prayer requests? I'm going to say, please pray for my Aunt Martha, she's stubbed the toe. And everybody's writing it down, pray for my toe. And, but you know, you went on with your life. And you didn't really pray for Aunt Martha's toe or some of the other prayers. Why does that happen? Now, if you were to get a phone call that somebody in your family was in the hospital and had a cancer that can't live, would you pray for that individual? Would you want the church to pray for that individual? Of course you would. Why? Because it is a burden. It's a heaviness on our heart. The Apostle Paul had such a burden and a heaviness that it led to prayer. And his prayer was for what? It was for Israel. What did Israel do to the Apostle Paul? Well, it was his nation, it was his land, it was his flag, it was his country. It was the land that he loved, the people that he loved and cared about. And what was his prayer to God for Israel? That in the next election, the right person would get voted in, that the Supreme Court would change, that certain laws would get passed. And listen, I'm not berating elections. I believe in voting. I believe you should vote according to Christian principles. All of those things, I believe, as Americans, we ought to do our part in voting for our representatives. And I thank God for that that privilege. For me, that's a new privilege, all right? I just got that right in 2016. My wife and I became citizens here, and that was our first election that we got to vote in. And I believe that's important. But listen, folks, the greatest need for the United States of America is not whether or not Donald Trump gets back in or if Elizabeth Warren wins, all right, or whoever would be on the other side, all right? I'm not trying to pick one here. That's not our greatest need. The greatest need is not how many judges that we get in and all these other things that we tend to talk about, that we tend to go to coffee shops and talk about, that we tend to put on our Facebook over and over and over and over again, talking about politics, talking about laws, and talking about all these different things, fighting to keep our gun rights and all that stuff. And again, these are good things to talk about, and good things to stand for. I'm not trying to berate any of them, but we talk about them constantly. How many times have you put out on Facebook or you talked to somebody or you've been so burdened for America that you're putting things out as America needs Christ. You're on your knees saying America needs Christ. That you're praying for communities around here that need a gospel church like Hamburg that these young folks are going to. That you've been on your knees because you've been so burdened. It's been such a weight on your heart that you said that I need to pray for America, that America might be saved. Is that truly a burden? Is that truly a heaviness on our hearts that it leads us to pray that our country would come to know Christ as a Savior? Statistics are in the United States of America right now, and it's kind of about Christendom. Right? Now, when we talk about Christendom, we know that's a big paintbrush, all right? But those going to church on a regular basis in the United States of America today, 18% of America. They're saying that in the next 10, 15 years, that is going to drop to 8% of Americans going to church on a regular basis. 65% of the people in this country right now are not affiliated with any church whatsoever. 65% are not saying, well, I'm a Baptist, right? Now, there's a lot of Baptists out there that say, I'm a Baptist because they went to a Baptist church as a kid and haven't been before they went to a Baptist church. They went to a church at all. The missionaries come into Thailand, and said, that number would be a lot smaller. And if the missionary said, now listen, only this percentage of people in all of Thailand are believers, and going to a church like this one, everybody says, Thailand needs Christ, and we need to support this missionary and send this missionary to Thailand, because those people need Christ. And then they could come here and tell us about the Dominican Republic. We say, Dominican Republic needs Christ because look at how few people there know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They need to hear the gospel and they need Christ. And listen, we need to send people. The Bible, we'll just talk about that here in a moment. The Bible says tells us that we are to send the gospel to the uttermost. And I'm not trying to belittle that, but folks, we've gotten away from the understanding that America needs Christ. That cities across this land need to know Jesus Christ, need your people Christ, and that we need only be done to help them in our lives. Folks, we need to have a commitment to that would be saved. Now, Paul has a burden for his nation. Think about it, please turn to Matthew chapter 28, verse number 19. We're looking at a couple of passages of Scripture that most of you could quote. But here's the Apostle Paul wants to see his nation one to Jesus Christ. And I know your pastor, because I pastored for many years, this has happened. God puts a burden on his heart. So he lays on his couch and says, boy, I hope that burden comes through someday. No, that's not what happens. He has to sit in his office and he has to pray and has to seek God's word to see what the biblical way to fulfill that burden. He talks to the leaders in the church and he presents it to the church. And you put a program together, and then the church gets behind the program, and you accomplish something great for God through all of the planning, structure, and organization biblical organization to see that burden fulfilled. Amen? We all understand that. So here's the Apostle Paul has a burden for Israel, that Israel might be saved. We need to have a burden for America, that America will be saved. So what are we going to do? Lay in our couches and hope that God will send somebody somewhere and they'll go and plant a church? Are we going to just talk about it? Never really pray about it? Never really do anything about it? We'll all put a plan together on how to reach Israel with the gospel. And so the first thing I'm sure is he's taking a biblical principle. He comes to Matthew 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And so we see here, first of all, what we need to reach America for Christ is we need churches across this land fulfilling the Great Commission. Well, what is the Great Commission? Well, we know the Great Commission, first of all, here it tells us in verse number 19 that you're to go, therefore, and teach all nations. That is talking about sharing the gospel, teaching them about Jesus Christ so that they know Jesus Christ is the Savior. So we need soul-winning churches, churches that have a burden for the lost, a burden to reach the community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we need churches like that across the land. You say, well, Brother Russ, praise the Lord, this is a church that loves God, and we love the lost, and we are doing our best to reach this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ here in Denver. And thank God for that. Amen. So we got a church here that loves Jesus Christ and tries to share the gospel. And I thank God in my life at age 16, I came to a church just like this. When I was raised in church, I knew nothing. And I came to a church that was just like this one. And a pastor preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then that very first Sunday, in the invitation time, I came to accept Jesus Christ as my church. I thank God there was a church in my town that loved the lost and went out there and shared the gospel. And at that point, I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I don't know everyone here today. And today, if you do not know what it means, that if you're to leave this earth, you're going to spend eternity somewhere. And that you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you can spend it and that you will be spending it in heaven. I thank God that I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that if my days were to end today, I would spend eternity in heaven. You might think I'm arrogant, you might think I'm crazy, but these are truths that I know, not because Rick Rush is a great person, but because of the principles of God's Word. And today, if you don't know or understand that, at a time of invitation, at the end of the service, we just come and let somebody share with you how you can know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We need churches across this land that are preaching the gospel. Then what does it say that we're to do? We're to baptize them. So the second thing is, we see them saved, then we see them baptized. All right? And so we get that. We understand that. And so churches are seeing people saved, seeing people baptized. And then what is the third thing it tells us to do? Teaching them to observe the key doctrines of the Scripture and the rest of the people. No, it doesn't say that. It says that we are to be taught to observe all things. All right? And that's why churches have Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, private one-on-one Bible or a discipleship, They have group discipleship. You have ladies' functions. You got men's functions. You got sitting around a bonfire, and the Bible gets opened up. And you're thinking, why on earth is everything we do got to have a Bible there? Because we are taught, we need to be taught to observe all things. Amen? And so churches need to be soul winning. We need to be baptizing. And we need to be discipling. And praise God, that means that we are a new testament and a great church, right? Well, not necessarily. I believe, personally, that the Great Commission is church planting. This whole passage of Scripture is church planting. Okay, well, what do you mean by that? Well, how can you preach the gospel, see people baptized, and add it unto the church, and disciple that there's no church there? The reason you're able to do this in Denver, Pennsylvania, is because this church is here. This church has been established by God. How is this going to take place in Hamburg? What can we do? Okay? Church has to start with it, right? And if there's communities out there that not have a good gospel preaching church, the church needs to be established so that community can be one to Christ. So we see that the Great Commission is church planning, but it's not just telling us that we need to do this in our community. And so he gives us the plan of where God would have us to do it. Now, in the Great Commission, it says we're to teach all nations. So it's not just you're to fulfill the Great Commission here, you're to do it in all nations. And so you say, well, we got that covered, Brother Rush. We've got Denver covered, then we got missionaries in China or wherever. I'm not sure where all your missionaries are, but I'm sure you have missionaries on the foreign field. All right? And so you got missionaries on the foreign field, and so you got all nations covered, and you've got Denver covered. Is that the only area where God asks you to fulfill the Great Commission? Well, let's look over to Acts chapter number 1, please. Acts chapter number 1. Well, let's see here, verse number 8. Where are we to fulfill the Great Commission? First part of chapter 3, chapter 1, verse number 8, is very important. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses of us. I quote this in the first hour, in the second hour. The key to church planting, the key to accomplishing the God, is that the Holy Spirit of God must move in the heart of the life. Pray, we need God's favor, humble ourselves, and we need God's power, we need God's direction. But both this verse is telling us that once the Spirit of God works in a church, when the Spirit of God is manifested through the local church, the Great Commission is going to be fulfilled. Where is the Great Commission going to be fulfilled? And you should be witnessing to me both in Jerusalem. Where is Jerusalem for you? Jerusalem's right outside the door. And so Denver, Pennsylvania is your Jerusalem. Then it says, go on to your Judea. Well, what is your Judea? Well, Judea, you could say, is your county or your state. All right, so the state of Pennsylvania needs the Great Commission fulfilled in there. And it is your church, the local church's responsibility to reach their Judea. And so we are to go to our Judea. And thank God again for this young couple going to a close part of your Judea. Amen, right over there in Hamburg. And Hamburg needs no Christ, and I'm sure there's many places here in Pennsylvania. Then it says Samaria. And what is Samaria? Well, in Israel, Samaria was a part of the country that the people were despised, they were looked down upon, they were hated, and so we'll call that the Buckeyes over in Ohio. Amen? I asked your pastor what your Samaria was, and he told me it was the great state of Ohio, and it broke my heart. Amen. Buckeyes need Jesus too. Amen? All right, and so especially Youngstown side. All right, so they need to know Christ as their Savior, but it is really biblically our responsibility as the local church. You're to reach your Judea, or your Jerusalem, your Judea, your Samaria, and the othermost part. And so, yes, we need to go soul winning here in Denver. Yes, you need to send a missionary to China. Yes, you need to plant church in Hamburg. Yes, you need to support church planting in Ohio and in other states around. But just think of that. Today, in the United States of America, if every fundamental Baptist church just like this one was praying over their Jerusalem, the beauty of that is there are Jerusalems all over this country. And if they're praying for their Judea, every Judea for every church is different. When I was pastoring in Toledo, Ohio, my Judea was totally different. We planted a church in Oregon, Ohio, a suburb on the east side of Toledo. If you go to Michigan, you must need to go through Toledo, and you'll go right through Oregon, right up to 280 to get up into Toledo. And you'll go right through there. So Oregon was our Judea. It's not your Judea. But think about this again. The churches across this country were praying for their Judeas. And their Samarias. Every Samaria is different. Our Samaria, Michigan. Amen? Your song leader up here, that's Michigan guy. I almost broke my heart. But I don't know if it's a Michigan fan. I have the same guy, and they always tell me it's a Michigan guy. And I say it's not. But, you know, our Samaria was Michigan. And so we were praying for Michigan and trying to help out with church plants in Michigan. But again, if every church in America was doing that, praying for their Jerusalem, their Judea, their Samaria, just think how many areas of this country would be being prayed for. If every church in this country was praying for their Jerusalem and their Judea to have a church plant to go to, and if they were working on raising up young men and encouraging young men to go to their Judea and to go to their Samaria, just think what God could accomplish by seeing this happening across this great land. Turn ahead, please, to Acts chapter number 8, and verse number 1. We see here that church planting ultimately was what reached Israel. And then fulfilling the Great Commission, following the biblical pattern of Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. Now, this church had the beauty of actually reaching Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, all right? And so, it's being literal here, but in Acts chapter 8, verse number 1, and Saul, that's the Apostle Paul, before he was saved, was consenting unto his death, talking about Stephen. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So what's happening here is that the church in Jerusalem was doing great. They were seeing souls saved. It was booming. The teen ministry had a rock climbing wall. The seniors ministry had an air-conditioned bus to go to the butterfly place and go out for lunch. I tell you, this church is doing great. It was wonderful. Like, who didn't want to be part of the church in Jerusalem? The problem was they weren't doing what God called them to do. And sadly, in my ministry time, I have heard pastors say things like, I have built three churches in this city. That means they have split three times. And they have built three different churches. And I've heard all sorts of crazy things of how churches have gotten started. Well, in this passage of Scripture, churches got started because God had to bring the person to Jesus. Now, I've heard preaching on revival in America. And we can humble ourselves before God and he can bring revival. Or we can have persecution come to America, and that could bring revival. And I heard a speaker say one time, which way would you prefer to get it? Right? And we can have church planting the biblical way or God helping us way. Right? Through persecution, through trials, through difficulties, through all sorts of things. Why did God have to do this? Because they were not doing what God asked them to do. So what do? They go on in verse number 4. It says, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. What happened was that the church in Jerusalem, as persecution hit, the apostles gave them authority and commissioned them to go out and be scattered across the nation and plant churches under the authority of the church in Jerusalem. And the local church is the only organization that has the authority to birth a new church. And so this young couple came to us and said, we're planning a church. Would you help us? And I go, who's your reproducing church? Oh, nobody. We're just doing this on our own. I'd love, well, good luck with that. All right? They don't have the authority to do that. But thank God they're going out through a reproducing church, and then the authority of their home church. I like that. I love that. I praise God. They're doing it the biblical way, the biblical plan. And so here's the church of Jerusalem. They give them the authority to go out and preach the word and plant churches everywhere. Now you say, Brother Russ, you're stretching the scriptures here because It just says in verse number 4, they went preaching the word. It doesn't say they were church planting. Well, I'll prove it to you here in a second. But what do you think was happening? They're going everywhere preaching the word. So they're going everywhere teaching the difference between the minor and major prophet. They're going everywhere and teaching the chronological order of the kingdom. All right, and their reign, the different kinds of reign. You think that's what they're going around doing? Oh, they weren't going around doing that. They're preaching the word. They're telling people, hey, you know Jesus. You know that you're going to heaven. And they preach the gospel message everywhere and planted churches in the community. Now, think about this in your mind right now, just quickly. If persecution came to you, let's say the Pennsylvania National Guard came in here and killed about 20 of you, and the rest of you got scattered, you're all going to flee Denver. Because of great persecution from our government. Picture in your mind, where would you go? And in a crowd this size, people would be going all over them. For some of you, go to different parts of Pennsylvania, right? Some of you might go to other states. Some of you might even go to Ohio. Amen? Praise the Lord. All right? And so, you're going to go different places. And just think, that's what happened here in Jerusalem. They were scattered throughout Israel. And as they were scattered throughout Israel, they burned churches. How do we know that? Well, they were scattered abroad. They went everywhere preaching the gospel of one last time. Acts chapter number 9, please. And verse number 31. What does it say there? Now, Acts chapter 8, verse 1 says, and persecution came to the church in Jerusalem. Church is grammar singular. Grammar, right? It's a singular term. Church. This, Mount Zion, that's a church, is a church. Right? Singular. Get that. You understand that? Acts chapter 9, verse number 31, then has a church head. What on earth happened? We went from church to church head. What happened? God scattered them. They went everywhere preaching the word and planting New Testament Bible believers. At least not at that point, all right, obviously. All right, and so they went everywhere. And where did they do it? Then as the church is rest, throughout all Judea, Galilee, Samaria, and were edified and watching in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, they were what? Multiplied. And so we hear the multiplication of churches across Judea, Galilee, Samaria, Israel, how are we going to reach America? We need churches like this. With this heart and desire to put us in God. Stand for God. What an encouraging thing to hear that we have to build this outgrown knowledge and head. But we will actually reach the community of God. We need churches like this one fulfilling the great this is an area. And yet, to the uttermost, where should a young person go? Where should somebody surrender their life? Do they surrender their life to what God would have them to do? And then I love this testimony. You need God, one of the plant church in the young age. What do you need to do? You need to make sure that God is not in the world. God raises up individuals. And you need to be trained, the Lord is a harvest. Sent forth laborers that we sent all over Pennsylvania and into Ohio, Virginia, and other states, New York State, amen. I think the gospel of Jesus Christ, praise the Lord. I think we'd all agree with that. And that it needs to be done. And if churches across this country had the heart of the Apostle Paul, where they were so burdened for their country that it led them to their knees, that it led them to beg God that their country be saved. Just think of the power of believers across this land having special times of prayer throughout the year. And we have special times of prayer for everything. Why not have special times of prayer throughout the year that we pray that America would be saved, that men would be raised up, that families would go, that churches would be planted, and and the gospel would be presented, and that people across this great land will once again hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and America is brought to the Lord. Do we have that kind of a burden today? In a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation for Christians to be willing to come and a moment at the altar this morning. Let's pray. Have a burden of God and America. God will raise up more comfort than this. So this is the truth of these things over and over and over again. God, we love you. Thank you for your word. God, I pray that you would help us to have a burden, a heart's desire to see America one to Christ. God, work through your Holy Spirit and heart and mind here this morning, that God, you would burden us, that we would have no rest in our souls and in our bones until we